Thank you, Mr. Park. Hear the word of the Lord for a meditation this morning. Jesus said, "Now my heart is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No. It was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven. "I have glorified it. I will glorify it again." The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, "This voice was for your benefit, not mine." Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that as you experienced the triumph of your entry into Jerusalem, as you experienced more and more people coming to you, desiring to speak with you, even people right before this coming to Philip and asking, because they were Greek, asking if they could see you, we would see Jesus was their request. And yet, Lord, even in the midst of this, you know why you're riding into Jerusalem. You know what's coming next. You know the reason why they called you Hosanna, and blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Lord, we pray today that we would see you, that we would hear you, that we would not be deaf to what's happening or hear a distortion of the truth. But Lord, we would hear your truth for us this day as we prepare to go through this journey during Holy Week. We want to be here for the Seder meal and the stripping altar. We want to be here on Good Friday. We want to be praying on Holy Saturday, and we want to experience the truth of your resurrection next Sunday. We want to experience all of it because each and every part is essential to understanding your agony, understanding your humiliation for us, and then coming again to next Sunday where we get to celebrate, just like we're celebrating today, the truth of your victory. Lord Jesus, bless these words that I'm speaking, but especially, Lord, make the word, your word speak to our hearts and minds so we may have indeed a life-changing experience. We ask it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. It's not thunder. Isn't it interesting that God speaks when Jesus, in his agony or his contemplation of what was about to happen, the reason that he came to this very hour, the reason that even as the people are crying out, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," he recognizes that this journey on the back of this donkey with those palms and cloaks and everything else before him is a journey to the cross. It's a journey that he will take. And more people are coming to him. If you're reading John, if you read John during our journey through the New Covenant, the New Testament during Lent, if you got to chapter 12, it probably took you a while because a lot of things are happening here. It comes right after Lazarus is raised from the tomb, remember? And then they have an evening meal 6 days before the Passover. And remember that Mary comes and anoints Jesus with oil. And Lazarus is sitting there reclining at the table. I just love that. I would have loved to have been there. Can you imagine all the questions they were asking? Like, hey, what was it like to be dead for 4 days? There was probably a lot of talk going on. And in the middle of all this, Jesus is still looking to the cross. And as he comes to a point where the Greeks are coming, the Greeks go to Philip because he has a Greek name, and they ask, we would see Jesus. Can we see Jesus? And they bring them to Jesus, and more people are coming to Jesus. And yet he's looking not to the, at the people as much as looking to the cross. He knows what's coming. And in his agony, when he's troubled by what he knows is about to happen, he prays this simple prayer, Father, glorify your name. Isn't that our prayer? As we came in with palms and balloons today, as we celebrate the triumphal entry into this room, into Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, is that not what we sang? Hosanna. And then we sang glory. Because isn't that our prayer? Father, glorify your name. Because as people of the new covenant, we've looked at all of the parts of the old covenant, right? We started off with Genesis 3:15, right? The promise that was made even in the midst of Adam and Eve's judgment. God promised an offspring that would defeat Satan. And then he expands upon it in Noah with the sign of the rainbow and the promise not to flood the earth. Then he expands upon it with Abram, who he gives the vowels from his name. So he's Abraham. And he gives him this wonderful promise of all his offspring, that he'll be a father of many nations. And it's an amazing covenant. And then he makes a covenant with the people as he brings them out of Egypt. Remember Mount Sinai? Then he made the covenant with David that said no matter what, David would have an heir on the throne forever. And today we want to look at a couple passages that talk about what God has promised to do. That when Jesus is on his way to the cross, he knows that the reason he's going to the cross is to fulfill the blood part of the new covenant that is a requirement, as you saw in the Sinai covenant, and as you'll see throughout all of the covenants, the covenant with Abraham, Genesis 15, where Abraham cuts the animals and God goes through, that blood is a part of the covenant, and he knows that he is going to be the blood sacrifice for the new covenant. And he's willing, out of his love for us, he's willing out of his love for us to let God's will be done. And that's why he says, Father, glorify your name. When he's saying that, he's saying, your will be done, Father. Your will be done. Not my will. Your will be done. He's going to pray that in the Garden of Gethsemane later on. Your will be done. And I love the response. What's the response? Yes, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. Because I've glorified my name before. Remember when he glorified his name at Jesus' baptism? He glorified his name at Jesus' transfiguration. And he's going to glorify it again when he goes to the cross and he rises from his death. And I just love this wonderful, powerful example of God again ripping heaven open and speaking into the very lives of people. And what happens? Do the people hear what God says? The beloved disciple obviously did because he wrote it, right? John obviously heard it, but the people who are around him, the Pharisees who were upset because more and more people were going to him, their desire to kill him and trap him and to kill Lazarus wasn't working. If you were listening when we came in, I read the first part of John 12 there, starting at verse 12, and it talks about how all of their plans, I think it was in verse 18 or 19, all their plans are for naught. They're going nowhere. More people are going to Jesus all the time, and they're getting frustrated. And it's interesting because they are not listening. They want their will to be done. They want their desires to be met. They want their plan to succeed. They're asking God to bless their plan rather than looking to what God is blessing. So do they hear what the voice of God is? Do they hear it, or is it distorted? Well, let me tell you. If they were listening, and John listened, he heard it, right? What did God say? I've glorified it, and I will glorify it again. But what did the crowd hear? Thunder. You ever listen to somebody's music when you're at a stoplight and you're a whole car away? And you know that possibly inside that car, they actually know what the words are. But what do you hear? I mean, my whole car shakes. Of course, I got a small car, but you know, I mean, it's scary. But that's the way it is the further you are. That's the way it is when you're living under the old covenant. That's the way it is when you haven't experienced what the new covenant promises. It's like you can hear the very word of God, and what happens? It's distorted. It's distorted. You're hearing through worldly ears. You're hearing through worldly minds and hearts. It's distorted. And it sounds like an angel speaking, which they didn't tell what the angel said. or it sounds like thunder. But it's not thunder. It's the very word of God. And what does God promise that Jesus will usher in? What is the new covenant that he promises? You heard it from Jeremiah chapter 31 in the Old Testament. You heard the words that God spoke when he made the new covenant promise with the people. He said, "The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel. After that time, declares the Lord, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people." This whole study of the covenant that Jim has been leading and I've been leading is for one reason, so that you understand to whom you belong. So that each and every day you can get up, and even without the balloons and the palms, you can say, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the one who's put his name on my heart, who's written his law on my mind and my heart, and who wants and desires me to live for him because of what he did on the cross, because of his victory in the empty tomb." Brothers and sisters, this is so powerful when you think about it. It says, "I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord.'" So many people are confused by this, but this is so simple. Just think about this. How many times have you had to try to explain to someone something that's simple because they don't understand? Ever had this problem? I'm so thankful my wife does most of the schooling, because patience is not one of my greatest gifts. Some of you probably experienced that. I work on it all the time, believe me. It is not something I don't understand. It's just hard. But the hardest thing for me is to explain something 3 or 4 times and realize the person is not understanding. It's just, you know, I'm sorry. It's just difficult, okay? And yet, this is what is happening when people are hearing a distortion, or they're not in the new covenant, or that the Holy Spirit's drawing them, but they're not willing to give, not willing to respond. It's kind of like trying to teach somebody, and I love the words here in Jeremiah, because what he's saying is, no longer will you have to explain to people, "Know the Lord." They simply receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. They receive this new covenant. They receive new hearts and minds, and they know the Lord. And not the type of "know" that we have in the Greek thought, which is a bunch of knowledge where you just kind of force-feed these books down their throat, you know. Take it! Get it! You got it! Okay? Not like that. This is an intimate relationship word. This is the Hebrew word. This is the Hebrew word for knowledge. It's an intimacy, a relationship. And God is, in the new covenant, is inviting us, each one of us, to enter into an intimate relationship with him, to live, for him to live in our hearts and our lives, so that we can actually talk with him and hear from him and understand his word. We don't have to have a whole bunch of people trying to explain to us the truth of the forgiveness of sins, because we will know in our hearts the truth of this. When we read the scriptures, the Lord will make it clear to us. He says, "Because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord, and I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more." Then we hear this again in Ezekiel. Ezekiel 36, 25 to 27, "I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws." Wow. Doesn't that make you excited? Can you say Hosanna? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's his promise to us. He will take our heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh. He will give us his spirit. Isn't that awesome? This is why we have balloons. It's God's breath. We want to see and experience all that God has for us, so that we know that when we receive this new covenant, and it's simply ours, it's simply there to respond to, God has already paid for it. He's sacrificed his son on the cross. We have this victory, and he desperately wants to cleanse us. He wants to forgive us. He wants to give us a new heart and a new spirit. And that's why when you come to the Lord's Supper today, listen to the words. I've had so many people tell me over the years that have come from different backgrounds, why do you always say that this is a sign of the new covenant for the forgiveness of sins? They want to know, where does that come from? Because, you know, if you read all the other Gospels and you read 1 Corinthians 11, it doesn't say for the forgiveness of sins specifically. It's in there because, again, people understood what the covenant was. They understood Jeremiah 31. They understood Ezekiel chapter 36. They knew. So for them, it was not a big surprise. But for us, let's look at Matthew 26, verse 26 to 28, which we'll hear again later on. While they were eating, this is at the Last Supper, Jesus took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." So is this just representative or symbolic according to that? There's something happening here, and this is why it's so important for us. Let's not think that it's just thunder. Let's not believe in distortions. Let's believe in the truth of God's word. Because just as we, as God heard, just as Jesus heard the truth of what God said, and just as those who were faithful and understood heard the truth of what God said, let's not think it's just an angel speaking or it's thunder, okay? Let's take God at his word. And let's believe with our hearts and our minds the truth of what he says. Because brothers and sisters, I just feel so strongly, and that's one of the reasons we're doing this covenant and kingdom study, is because I feel so strongly that sometimes we're happy with the distortion. Because if we hear the word, it convicts us. Any of us, when we're reading through the new covenant this Lenten season, have been convicted? I'm sorry, it just does that. I mean, when the Bible says the word of God is alive, sharper than a double-edged sword, it cuts to the heart, to the bone and marrow, it does that. But that's because the Lord wants to cleanse us. He wants to give us a new heart and a new mind. He wants to give us the forgiveness of our sins. He wants so desperately for us to understand. That's why Jesus said, "This voice was not for me. It was not for my sake. It was for our sake." So we understand that what is going to happen this Holy Week. And I just want to, I know pastors are supposed to do this, put a plug in for the services that are coming. But I urge you, if you're not going to be here for Easter, please take in the services around you. Because there's nothing worse that in my experience, and maybe I don't have as much life experience as a lot of people, but my experience is if you don't go through Good Friday, it's really hard to understand what all their rejoicing is about on Sunday. Seriously. When I went to my first parish, I was so shocked at how many churches didn't want to celebrate Good Friday because it was depressing. Well, I'm sorry. Be depressed for a day if that's what it takes. Because otherwise, you're never going to experience the great joy of celebrating the truth of the empty tomb if you haven't gone through the experience of the stripping of the altar and all the other things that happen with it. Oh, thank you. So that's my prayer for you, is that you would experience everything the Lord has for you, so that when you come to Easter Sunday next week, to Resurrection Sunday, we wouldn't need balloons, even though they'd be cool. We wouldn't need palms. We wouldn't need to process in, because the Lord would be so here with us that we wouldn't have to ask like those Greeks asked Philip. We would see Jesus. Can we see Jesus? We would see him. We would hear him, we would experience him, we would be blown away by the power of God's Spirit and his presence in our midst. So that's my prayer for us during this Passion Week, that we would experience everything the Lord has for us, that we would not let things be distorted by our sinful nature or by Satan, who likes to try to distort what we hear, but that we would be open to what the Lord has for us and experience everything that he so desperately wants us to experience. It's been over a year since I was healed, and I keep getting affected by viruses, so I'm still struggling with those. But the Lord is in the healing business. And I just want to ask you this week, can you spend time in the Word? Spend time in prayer. Prepare your hearts to receive what the Lord has for you, because I really want to have more testimony. I hear testimonies all the time of what God is doing. But I believe in this new covenant, He wants to show His power. He wants people to experience more and more of His power in their lives. And it's my prayer that as we go through this next week, that you would hear these words that John speaks here in the gospel lesson. He says, "For this reason they could not believe, because as Isaiah says elsewhere, he has blinded their eyes and deadened their hearts, so that they can neither see with their eyes, nor understand with their hearts, nor turn, and I would heal them." My heart breaks for people that are like this. I know we're believers, so we go, yes, we understand. But there are so many people around us who are exactly like what Isaiah is saying here. Do you know that? There are so many people. It's my prayer that this week, you know, one of the blessings we have in our country that's a huge blessing for us is that even though there's separation of church and state, how many people are getting an Easter holiday or, a day off or something? A few of you? It's in the air. People are aware of it. It's an opportunity for us to share the truth of the new covenant. It's an opportunity for us to share why it's called Good Friday. It's an opportunity for us to share why is it Easter Sunday. Brothers and sisters, may we have the opportunity to let people know that our God is alive. That Jesus is alive. And that He was willing to go through all this so that God could glorify His name and could give people this new covenant. May we experience all that God has for us, and even more this week. Amen.